This is the I Am a Mainframer podcast, brought to you by the Linux Foundation's Open Mainframe Project. Episodes explore the careers of mainframe professionals and offer insights into the industry and technology. Now your host, Senior Analyst and Vice President of Sales and Business Development at Futurum Research, Stephen Dickens.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the I'm a Mainframer podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Dickens, and we're joined here by Domenico. Hey Domenico, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So let's dive straight in. Tell us a little bit about you, what you do, who you're working for. Let's just start there.
Okay, so I'm Domenico D'Alterio. I'm working for IBM, but currently I'm working on mainly on Zoe, the open source project. So I get paid for IBM to work on something that is free of charge. It is great, you know?
That's a fantastic dynamic, right?
Yes. And I joined the Zoe team 1 year and a half ago.
Okay.
And I'm product manager in IBM. So I work on the strategy for our products, and now I work as product manager even on Zoe.
So I know Zoe, I was there at the meeting when it started 5 years ago, pretty much this week. For some of our listeners who aren't aware of Zoe, tell us what Zoe is as far as you see it.
Okay, Zoe, yeah, I was there as well when Zoe was introduced 5 years ago, and I was soon excited about Zoe. Zoe is the first open source project on mainframe, and the mission of Zoe is to make mainframe open, simple, and familiar. So it provides a framework of services to allow to interact with the ZOS resources in an easy way, in a more modern way, and enable even an easier integration with the rest of the IT world, let's say, so with the hybrid cloud. This is in few words.
So I think for me, going back, I was involved in the original foundation of the Open Mainframe project, so it's been something I've been involved in since the get-go. I think for me, and you just touched on it there, Zoe's that first open source project on ZOS. We've obviously had Linux on the mainframe for 20 plus years now, but from a ZOS perspective,
exactly,
there's a natural tension between open source and ZOS though. ZOS is very controlled, very structured, very organized, very sort of locked down, and then we've got open source. Maybe just expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, there is a lot of fear about open source. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking with a friend, and regardless what I was doing, she said, well, you know what, open source is always something that is not secure. And so, as you said, you can put open source on mainframe, that is the extremely secure platform.
Yeah.
Well, even open source can be very secure. It depends on the practice and the processes that you put in place to develop open source code. And it is the case of Zoe. So we follow all the best practices and all the processes to make it secure in terms of code, and we do the penetration testing and all the stuff that you usually do with every commercial product on Zoe, so on ZOS.
Well, I think the interesting thing for me as well is the Zoe community is a mainframe community of open source. So it's not like people who are developing for Raspberry Pis and gamers developing. Because it's mainframe open source people, which is a slightly different dynamic.
Yeah, it's different dynamic, but as I said, I was excited the first time that I saw Zoe 5 years ago. I was at Share St. Louis, and I was excited because, it's really a real modernization of the platform. I joined IBM in 1999, and my first job was to develop code, develop a component of the ZOS. At the university, I never seen the ISPF panels or dataset or whatever. And so it was really a challenge at the beginning to get used to all of the terminology and the tools and the missing tools that we were having at that time to coding and so on. So when I saw Zoe, I said, wow, finally they found a way to solve the skill problems that every mainframe, let's say enterprise, has. So yeah, there is a community of mainframe because all of them are passionate to make the platform still modern, still usable, even from the next generation or the new generations of developers. And this is the reason why, you see so many mainframers joining this open source project, excited and really,
So the show's called I'm a Mainframer. You talked about your first job working for IBM. I'm going to take you back to 1999. Let's maybe build out the story arc for the listeners here. Tell us a little bit about kind of what you've done to get to this point today.
Well, I joined IBM in 1999 as a developer. And yes, I was developing this component of ZOS, a new component of ZOS. And it was written in C++ at that time. Mm-hmm. And frankly, we were using development tools on Unix and then move the code once it was good enough on ZOS, because there were no real good development tools on ZOS at that time. And I stayed as a developer for something like 5-6 years on ZOS. Then I moved to a managerial role, but I was the development manager and then even customer support manager for ZOS products, still in IBM. And that gave me a different point of view, the point of view of the customer. When you are a developer, you know, you understand the feature that you have to develop, you develop it, but you are not really exposed to the customer.
You don't
needs.
See it consumed by a
exactly.
customer and used.
Yeah.
Your job's onto the next feature.
As customer support manager, I was facing with customers that say to me, you know what, we cannot fail. We cannot have a bug in a ZOS product, because every delay of seconds cost us $1 million. So it is the perspective of the user of the mainframe. They obviously expect to have something that never fails. Simply never fails. Simply is really always performant, always secure, and so on. And then, so I remained in this managerial role for a few years, and then 7 years ago, I moved to the product manager role, still on ZOS products.
And do you think it was that exposure to the customer, that exposure to kind of the requirements, that helped you make that transition to
absolutely.
Product management?
Absolutely. I wanted that, that customer-facing experience was crucial to move to the product manager, because for more than 10 years, as customer support manager, I was hearing from them what are their use cases, what are their pain, what are their needs. And so then moving to the product manager role, where I have to translate their requirements in something that development can digest, was crucial to have this kind of customer experience.
And from I was a product manager myself, that being the voice of the customer back into the organization, ultimately back into the development and product development teams, for me, is that most crucial component.
Yes.
Maybe just give us some examples of kind of where you've seen it, because I think unless you've been in that product management role, and I know a lot of our listeners and viewers are kind of maybe thinking about kind of their own career journeys. We have a lot of younger people on the show. Okay. Maybe map out a little why that listening to customers, hearing those requirements, and kind of how you do the translation. I think you've obviously understood that with your career.
Yeah.
Maybe expand.
And sometimes it's even challenging, because the internality of the organization or the development looks even at the something that is really great from a technical point of view. But then when you look at that, you say, okay, so what? So you are improving the UI because you are using a new technology, but what is the benefit? What is the value add for the customer? Why the customer should pay
why
for that?
Why do they care?
Yeah, why should they pay for that? On the other hand, talking with multiple customers, you can get the sense that there is something that they need that they even don't know that they need.
Yeah.
When you translate it to the development, they obviously start asking question like, okay, how many customers are looking for that? Why they are looking for that? And so you have to explain in detail what is the use case, what is the value add, what are the customers you interacted with that are looking for that? So it's time consuming and it's a tough job, but it's really, I really enjoyed it.
That's the value, I think. That's the value of being able to synthesize what customers want and be able to translate that into a set of features that's going to get that experience you want from
the clients. The other point is that you have to predict what the customer will need in 3 years, for example, because it is the time that the development needs to deliver the new feature or the new product.
So you've got to be ahead of the market.
Exactly. And sometime, I was successful. I remember I launched on the field the product that I will not name, and after 2 years, through a business partner, they were able to recover the initial expense, the initial investment of the on this product. And it was really a great experience for me, as you can imagine.
You saw the loop.
Yes.
Saw the loop.
I saw the loop from customer having the needs. We were having some technology that we can adjust and build the product to fill the needs. And then I saw customer purchasing and using it and very excited and happy about it because they were missing that product for linking some stuff, and it was great.
So we've talked a little bit about the career arc there from 99 to what you're doing today in the Zoe space. You have the opportunity to go back to your younger self and go back to, it's only a couple of years for you, but for me it would be a few more years, but you go back to you coming out of college in 1999. Yeah, what would you say to your younger self?
What I would say to the young people that face with the ZOS the first time, don't be scared. Mm-hmm. Because at the beginning, it can be scaring. It can be scaring because, more if you face with the traditional, let's say, interfaces. Now with Zoe, but not only Zoe, there are plenty of tools now that are more modern and user-friendly. You can interact with Zoe. You have to learn some terms that are different, but in a while you will get the skill on the terms, but it's really a great platform to work on. It's really...
So what advice would you be if people are looking to kind of build that career on the mainframe platform? You've had a lot of different roles. You've been a developer, you've been in support, you've been in product management. What would that advice be to kind of navigate through? Any tips and hints?
Well, more than tips and hints, I think that to become a good product manager, if it is the ultimate role, at least you have to be, yes, some time in development. Then it could be developers, designers, or even manager of a team of developers, but some time in the developer to understand the internals, let's say, of the products and the platform, and then having a customer-facing role before moving to...
I think the customer intimacy piece that we talked about is
absolutely
crucial.
Yes. Because you learn, it's a completely different world, the customer on mainframe versus, because in my career, I had been even customer support manager for distributed product at the same time. And it was a completely different set of customer expectations. So they can accept that the product failed from time to time. They possibly want to have more frequent updates rather than stability on the mainframe side. Then don't look for new major release earlier than every 18 months, but it has to be stable. It has to be perfect, performant.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, as we start to think about wrapping here, you've obviously had the developer experience. You've had this support role. You've managed a support organization. You've done this product management. I think you've got an interesting perspective, and I always ask this question of all the guests. Where do you see the mainframe 5 years from now? So we're on Z16, maybe go beyond Z17, you know, maybe into what the world's going to look like at the back end of the Z18 cycle. Where do you see the mainframe?
What I'm seeing the last few years, Zoe is an example, is that the ZOS and the IBM Z hardware is really modernizing its face, its interface to the users, and it will grant longevity to the platform because for sure from performance, security, and volume of data, there is no competitor.
Yeah.
So the only problem is still the skill. Because to acquire the skill to work on ZOS, it's not trivial. And so they are fixing this part with the modern interfaces, let's say. And Zoe is helping so much. The other part is what they are doing on first the machine learning for the anomaly detection, and then with the AI infusion. I work mainly on products that are on the operations. So the anomaly detection is important in my, let's say, product portfolio to predict problems and to avoid problems. So
you see that improving over the next 5 years?
Yeah, because up to now, it's more reactive. So I got a problem, and I have the tool to solve the problem. What I'm seeing is more and more investment in the prediction with the machine learning artificial intelligence to prevent the product, to predict that you are going to have a problem in 2 hours, so you can act even before the problem happens. So this is what I see on the platform. Modernization in terms of interfaces to reduce the skill concern, let's say, or complaint, and even more user value in terms of with the infusion of the artificial intelligence.
I think that's a fantastic summary. Really,
thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. I think really interesting story. Great to understand your trajectory. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the I'm a Mainframer podcast. Please click and subscribe and do all those things that help the algorithm. And we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you very much for watching.
Thank you for tuning in to I Am a Mainframer. Liked what you heard? Subscribe to get every episode or watch us online at openmainframeproject.org. Until next time, this is the I Am a Mainframer podcast. Insights for today's mainframe professionals.